welcome to the... it's been a while since I've done one of those up. Hello, and welcome to the Geek Night In, episode 38. I'm your host, Laura. I'm here this week with Tilly.
Hello. I don't know if you'll keep it in, but seeing as you just messed that up, the other day I accidentally told someone that I'm on a podcast called The Geek Agenda. We've been doing this for a year.
Yeah, well done. So that's Tilly. She's here. She's doing geeky things.
Eating green tea Kit Kats.
Yeah, woo. I'm also here with Kate this week.
Oh, hi. I'm eating an apricot.
Is everyone eating this week? Gemma's here. Are you eating this week?
I was going to say, I never learned to actually have cool stuff to eat. I am sat here with a glass of water.
That notoriously badass fruit.
You're a boring nerd. I've got a Night Vale mug full of tropical juice. Ew.
That's pretty cool.
What are you looking at? Your Kit Kat?
Yeah, it tastes like fish.
Okay, that's an update this week. Green tea Kit Kats taste of fish.
It's nice, but then the aftertaste is fishy.
Anyway, so geeky things we have to talk about this week. Does anyone have anywhere they would like to start?
Well, I would like to give a shout out to Ellie, who is one of our listeners and who came along to our outdoor lightsaber combat training like a week or so ago. So I met a fan, yay!
Ellie!
We've got a shout out to make for a fan as well, because we met a fan at MCM Expo in London, Lee Connolly, who she listens to the Geek Night In. Hello, Lee. Very nice to meet you.
Woo, Lee!
Woo! You should totally come to Nine Worlds, where the other two are going to be. You can see all of us. We'll all be in one place. Woo! So, yeah, geeky things this week. You know where might be a good place to start? Because this is going to be a chance for Kate and Tilly to talk about something that me and Gemma don't know anything about. Kate and Tilly, do you want to talk about Criminal Case on iOS?
Yes, I love Criminal Case.
Basically, me and Tilly have started a new career as detectives.
We're good at it, too. We're the best on the force. Apparently.
Yeah, we literally are. It's actually, basically, it's a game. It's kind of similar to the Kim Kardashian game in that it's like, you know, you have, well, most games on iPhone, you have energy and stuff. But it comes up with crime scenes and you have to look for stuff in the crime scenes. You know, there's like 100 things in there and you have to pick the things that it asks you to. And you solve crimes. But I mean, the illogic, it's really fun and it doesn't cost money and you can still have quite a good time without having to actually buy the extras. I thought anyway, I don't know if Tilly agrees. But there are so many inconsistencies. Like, you'll go to a crime scene and it's the first time you go and there's obviously the body and you press that and that obviously gets taken for autopsy. But then there'll be like a gun, a knife, blood, and that's just like not a clue. It's like, oh yeah, that's just a blood spatter. That's just there. And the other thing that is really inconsistent is it'll be like, on the autopsy, they'll find blue fabric fibers on the victim. Therefore, the killer is wearing a blue shirt. Yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure if you murdered someone, you would change your clothes. And then on one of them, like, spoilers, but he's been crucified. And they're like, it must have been a Christian that did it. Like, really? What? Like, and that is genuinely the thing. That is what you use to take down the killer, that it's a Christian. And it's like, if we think about the most famous crucifixion in history, Christians didn't do it. Okay, you're more likely to be looking for a Roman around New York. But everyone else is really incompetent except you, and your like partner is like a white guy, and he's really incompetent and just defers to you, and it's amazing.
Yeah, he's really funny. Because I had to find antidepressants for someone today in the game, and he was like,
oh yeah,
he was like, oh, Detective Rebecca has a knack for finding things, don't they? Because he uses gender neutral pronouns.
Oh, of course, yeah.
It's so funny, and it's like, oh, they have a knack for finding things, and I'm like, I've told you my pronouns, that's not them.
But aww. Sometimes, like, there was one, and it's like, you found a broken badge at the scene,
yeah,
therefore
yeah.
The killer wears a badge, but the badge is there, the killer is not wearing the badge. What?
Yes, I did that one today, I got really confused by it.
My only takeaway from this game is I watched one murder and I was convinced that the butcher did it because he was wearing blood-stained overalls. It's like, you've not even washed your overalls. I'm pretty convinced that's the victim's blood all over you. He wasn't the killer. I'm still convinced he was because there's all the blood on him.
So you do find, like, murder weapons and they're like, nah, it's just, you know, part of the decor. Yeah. And then, like, random stuff, like, oh, CD, drugs, needles, and it's like, nah, that's not a clue.
Yeah, I had to find cocaine today.
And that wasn't a clue? Like,
no, it wasn't. There's just a random pile of cocaine in this girl's room, and it's like, all right.
That's irrelevant to the case.
I think if the American police force is doing it like this, then, yeah, they're going to not find any killers.
So, here's my question. I downloaded this game because Tilly needed me to file reports for her, which I couldn't work out how to do. So why should I play this game? I have this game. I haven't played it. Why should I play it?
Well, it's you don't need to spend money on it to actually get full enjoyment. And you it tests your looking at things, your kind of your looking at things ability. And your muscle memory.
They gave me, the other day, just randomly, they gave me a few hours where I had unlimited energy.
Yeah, they do that. If you don't play it for a couple of days, then they'll try and get you back in. But there's no address. And you get a dog.
Yes, I got a dog.
Yeah, I got a German Shepherd.
I've got a German Shepherd.
Okay, I will try and play this week. We'll see if I find it in any way interesting. I'm dubious.
It's also linked to Facebook, which I
might link it so that we can be friends on it, because that'd be cool.
Yeah, because I keep trying to send you requests to write my reports for me.
I keep getting, like, a couple of times a day I will get messages that are like, Tilly wants you to file her reports, and here's an energy boost she gave you. Who's the killer? Here's a hint, the killer's 6 foot tall, and this man's 6 foot tall.
Yeah, that's
it's not like you spend all day writing stuff at all, is it, Laura?
Yeah, exactly. I need to file Tilly's reports for her now.
Yeah, you should.
Well, yeah, I laugh at...
the killer's going to go free.
What the hell?
I laughed at the adverts on Facebook for this game because one of them was, like, which of these people is the killer? And there's three people of differing heights. And there's one person who is 6 foot tall. And the line for 6 foot tall is, like, big and bold and pointing at him. And then underneath it says, hint, the killer's 6 foot tall.
Exactly. So if you're not being able to put the killers behind bars, you're the real criminal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Corruption in the force.
Exactly.
Ooh. I used to play a game called Gardens of Time.
Isn't that the exact same game, just differently skinned?
Basically, yeah. It's another, like, you know, find the hidden objects game. But this one's a lot more annoying. Like, you had to, in order to... you had to, like, buy things to get more experience. And then the only way you could have a big enough place to put all these things that you bought was by adding friends on Facebook.
So it doesn't really do that, this one.
Yeah.
To be fair, you told me I needed to download this game purely so you could get me to do paperwork.
Yeah, but only so I could do it faster. It does eventually unlock the next level without the paperwork.
Exactly. And we can't be waiting for a Ramirez to do it all.
Exactly, he's shithead.
He is fucking annoying. He always loses stuff, and then we have to go around his office. It's like, can't we just tell him to go and get it?
Yeah. Like,
just
fire him and replace him with someone competent?
Like, you work with different people on the case. Also, you take the judge to this crime scene. Yes. Like, I'm pretty sure.
Why?
You take the judge.
Because you need a friend. You
got other characters, like, boost your thing. And the one who has the most points doesn't do any work ever. She's amazing. It's always Alex who has to do stuff, like do the autopsies. And the woman, I can't remember her name, but she's like, nah, fuck you guys. I'm just going to sit.
Anyway, we should talk about some other things from this week. I kind of want to talk about MCM, the big London Comic Con Expo thing that happens every year, because me and Tilly went to that.
Yeah, we had fun.
Yeah, did you have a good time this time?
It was good. I am weeb trash.
You are weeb trash.
Yes. Every time
weeb trash?
Weeaboo, the worst kind of weeaboo. I love Japan.
Every time I go, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm so mature. And oh my god, look at all the anime! away.
Yeah.
I have to get the Pocky.
Basically, we devolve into like 13-year-olds that are obsessed with Japan. When we get there, it's like, oh my god, green tea Pocky and kawaii desu desu.
I had green tea Kit Kats when I went to Japan, and they were amazing. I don't know what's wrong with these. They taste like fish. But like, yeah. Every year I go, and it reminds me that I am weeb trash, and I will never be anything but weeb trash.
Oh, you say
where
that.
Where does weeb trash come from? Because I've never heard this before.
It's a condensation of weeaboo, which is basically used to refer to people who are far too obsessed with Japan and cuteness. And trash as in, I am the worst kind of person.
I bought a plush cookie with a smiley face on it.
Because Japan?
Yeah, because it's kawaii desu desu.
No, desu desu, you've got to pronounce the U at the end. Desu. Weeaboo.
You're not even real weeb trash.
So I had a lot of fun at MCM this weekend. I got to catch up with a lot of friends that I don't often get to see.
No, you didn't. I wasn't there.
You weren't
no,
there.
No, you
but
weren't, which was really...
You have no friends except me.
I'm going to give a shout out to my friends who were there. Woo, woo, Makita and Becky and Tanya and Stacey and Dan.
Oh, look
yeah.
at you. You've got friends.
Yeah, you were all there. Woo. So mostly what I was excited about going to Expo was I got to do lots of cosplaying, and I threw together about 3 costumes on a budget in about 2 weeks. So I did the first day I cosplayed Pearl from Steven. Oh no, not the first day. Sorry. Let me get my days right. So the first day I cosplayed Chloe from Life is Strange.
Drew a tattoo on her.
Yeah. And then we didn't have hairspray to fix it, and then it came off. But no, most of the outfit for that was out of stuff I already own that fit her sense of style. And then I just convinced someone to, at 7 o'clock in the morning, bring me a black woolly hat and a blue wig that I could put on while on the underground. And then I had my camera and I was like, yeah, I'm photography girl from Life is Strange. Really like that wig. I just want to wear it all the time now with that hat. The second one I did was Pearl from Steven Universe, which was all done out of stuff that I got from charity shops and eBay for about £20. I put the costume together. So it's sort of a light blue top, which I made a yellow star to go on, and layers of paper and card that I used to make my like forehead gem, and a pink wig. And
it was really funny because she stuck the gem to herself with duct tape.
And then
I once watched an Iron Man porn film where for his arc reactor, you know those lights that like JML ones that you stick under cabinets in your kitchen?
Sorry, yep.
Oh, I've forgotten.
The ones
yes,
that you click on and click off, you get them from IKEA. He had one of those stuck to his chest with duct tape while he was having sex, and it kept falling off. It was hilarious.
So yeah, rest of my costume, which did not involve sex, involved... the rest of my costume involved like a tutu and some pink cycling shorts from Primark, and charity shop blue shoes that were a size too small, which meant that my feet were in lots of pain by the end of the day, because heels that are a size too small are not comfortable to wear for a day. But no, I really enjoyed that costume. It went over really well. And then the last one I did was Haru from Free, which I think I've mentioned it on the show before, is an anime about swimming that I started watching. And since Expo, I've become the worst kind of person, because not only have I watched one sports anime, which was the swimming anime, I'm now watching Haikyuu, which is a volleyball anime. Because, yeah, I'm falling down that nerdy rabbit hole, apparently.
Oh, and I spent today walking down memory lane because I was have any of you heard about the follow-up to Naruto?
No.
About his son Boruto.
Yeah, Naruto. Yeah, okay. This was amazing. I was talking to people about this at MCM. Apparently Naruto's over now. They finished making new Narutos, and it ends with his son Boruto, who is basically like, if you've ever seen someone who's making an original character for a universe and it's basically the main character but ever so slightly different with basically the same name and with like all of the most amazing abilities, that is Boruto. It is Naruto with a very slightly different name and all of the best abilities ever and no flaws.
And a little bit of different hair.
Oh yeah, sorry, he has a fringe now.
So it's a bit like that thing where you go to Google Images and you type your name, the hedgehog.
Yes,
and you end up with a hedgehog who has all the abilities.
Yes, it is original character, do not steal, totally original, Boruto. And this is a legitimate thing. So yeah, that was fun. And then the big one for me was I got to interview Felicia Day. So I now have a selfie with Felicia Day, which is kind of cool because Felicia
Day. You just slipped that one in there.
Yeah, just slipped that one in there. So I was given 2 minutes to do my interview after the round table. So I was like, right, 2 minutes. At what point did you realize that people viewed, like, what was the first time that you realized people viewed you as a, like, geek feminism icon? And if you could go back and change anything in your work since you've been, like, self-editing and, like, self-employed, what thing would you go back and change? And that was the two questions I wedged in before they were like, nope, you're done.
Where could one find this interview, Laura?
It's not yet up. It is, I'm shopping it around. There's a couple of places it might go. So it'll be up soon. Because being freelance is weird. And sometimes I do cool things that don't see the light of day yet. Kate, you have an amazing cosplay thing to talk about.
Well, it links into something else that I wanted to talk about as well.
So what is the thing you want to talk about?
Mad Max.
Oh,
who's
Mad
seen
Max.
It? Who's seen it?
I have seen not. A slightly dodgy copy of it. I haven't legitimately seen it. I want to go see it tomorrow when I get paid.
Everybody said to me,
but
I have
seen it, and it is as good as people have been saying.
Well, everyone said to me, like, oh, Kate, you'll love it, you'll love it. And, like, people at work, you know, we obviously go and see all the films. And everyone was like, no, you'll love it. And I was thinking, great, this is, like, a massive expectation. It's probably going to be crap. Mm. Went to go see it in IMAX with my boyfriend. And literally would watch Spooks earlier in the day, which was not that great. And then, you know, watching Mad Max, I was quite excited for it. And after the first, you know, it does the bit and then it comes up with, like, Mad Max. And I don't think I'd eaten a single bit of my popcorn or my sweets. I was just stood there, sat there even with my mouth wide open.
Yeah, like, having watched a slightly dodgy copy of it, I'm like, oh, this is amazing. I will happily watch this again. I want to see this on a big screen in high quality, because my goodness, this is a film.
It was like, the script was amazing, and I've been discussing it with a lot of people, and, you know, the internet kind of went mad for it and loved it, and it was kind of hailed as this feminist masterpiece. And so I had some guy say, oh yeah, it's so amazing to see, you know, a female action character. And I was like, Ellen Ripley, like, she's not the first one.
I've heard a lot of comparisons to the first Alien, and
yeah,
I think it's going to hold up similarly. And it's like, hey, you know what? When you put badass women in your action horror stuff, sometimes those things endure for a long time. Like, I suspect this is going to. So maybe do that more.
And I mean, but a lot of people, you know, people are really hailing it as a big step, and it is a step. But it's not perfect. I've read a good sort of essay article thing about disability from somebody who is a fetal amputee. So she was born with one arm, and it's cut off. Her arm stops in the same place as Furiosa's does in the movie.
Yeah.
And so she was talking about that kind of thing and saying how it was really good representation. But then there are some people who... she also pointed out that some of the sort of baddies are disabled and quite obviously you know, have some sort of disfigurement, and it is kind of like disabled people evil, you know. It's not perfect, but the way I pitched, the way I decided, my conclusion was that it's not the finish line, it's a mile marker. Yeah. Like, we had Alien, you know, we've had other things, and we've got these kind of, these points on our timeline. I mean, film as we know it is only, you know, just over 100 years old. I'm not sure when the first actual, like, movie came out, but, you know, it was sort of
1902, I think.
Okay. Well, like,
having to cast my mind back to A-level media studies.
I thought you were going to say having to cast your mind back to 1902, though. I was like, how old are you, Emma? But, yeah, like, it's quite, you know, it's a relatively new form of entertainment compared to, like, theatre and novels and things like that. So it is interesting to see where we're going with it.
Mm.
The like, it, you know, it was an amazing film. It's really kind of punched you in the face with all of the high octane stuff.
Yeah.
I drove home like I want to drive at a million miles an hour.
Interestingly, then, my big takeaway from this film, and I don't know if you agree, is that like the strength of this film is that you could have had this film with no dialogue whatsoever, zero lines of dialogue, and it still would have been just as spectacular a film.
I think a lot of it I heard was unscripted and they just kind of went with it. And it does feel quite natural. A lot of the action sequences are obviously quite heavily choreographed and very nicely done.
It's a lot of very visual storytelling that is very impressive how they've put it together. Also, I mean, electric guitar on the front of a truck.
Yes! Oh my God! I need one so badly.
Yeah, I'm just like, okay, so that's my new career plan.
There's a guy and they're like going on this big chase and they have a guitarist just like chained to the car and he's wearing like a Father Christmas onesie.
He's basically like if you imagine like a medieval war and you've got like the people marching playing the drums as everyone marches into war. He is essentially like the war drummer, but he is bungee corded to the front of a truck that's covered in speakers while he plays guitar and flames shoot out of the guitar.
It's amazing. But we watched it today, me and some friends from work, and these guys behind us who were like, kind of, if you said Mad Max, you would think of them as the target audience, and afterwards they were like, that was shit. You were just like, ah.
Oh, were these the actual guys that keep popping up on the internet where it's like, oh shit, Mad Max wasn't even the main character, what the fuck's, where's Mad Max in a Mad Max film?
I also had somebody come out yesterday and I said, oh, what did you think? And they went, oh, I really wanted him to kiss at the end. And I kind of half squealed. I don't think you understood that movie. I do not think we watched the same film. Like, that. Why did you, you know, can you really not comprehend the idea of a female character in an action movie who is not a love interest?
Apparently not.
Is that so alien to you that just won't happen? But yeah. I've really enjoyed it. And my cosplay... I want to cosplay as Furiosa. Mm. I'm not shaving my hair. Sorry. But I figured I could like do obviously like the black face paint thing and loads of eyeliner and then like a white t-shirt and make like a sort of a shoulder pad thing.
Yeah, you could do that on a like as a budget cosplay. That would just be too bad.
White t-shirt, black trousers, like jeans, and then try and find some kind of steampunky things to like, you know, belts and things. Like I wouldn't want to do anything with my arm, like put a cage, because I think that's a bit tasteless, because obviously I'm not disabled in that way. But yeah, something like that would be cool. And also when I read the thing where the woman who was a fetal amputee, she was like, I'm going to cosplay as Furiosa and like get an arm cage thing that looks like hers. But I also wanted to cosplay as one of the wives because I found that throughout it, they were not passive at all.
Mm.
Like they do so much. Like so often when you see kind of rescue things, they don't do anything. But like, you know, they were pulling the, you know, helping get the car, the truck out of like the mud and things like that. They were actively moving and there was a redhead in it who looked like Drew Barrymore and all I'd need is like a white sheet, so those are my two cosplays. I would just cosplay as various characters from Mad Max.
Woo!
Speaking of cosplay, I was thinking of one that I want to do at either the next expo or possibly Nine World, but I want to do the glow cloud from Night Vale.
I would love to see you as a glow cloud.
I saw somebody do that. I think they just went as Night Vale. They didn't really go as the glow cloud. But like they had an umbrella and then they had like cotton wool stuck to them and like some fairy light. You know, the fairy light that comes in tubes.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like the running light things and that wrapped around and like a couple of sayings or something on them. They were just dressed as Night Vale.
Aww.
Yeah, that's my plan basically. But I want to get like a white umbrella and dangle fairy lights from that and put cotton balls on it and
Yay!
Get a white feather boa and stuff and just be like.
You
really,
can follow
really
me
white.
Around when I do my Femme Cecil again.
Yeah, and I'll hold up a sign that says, All Hail the Glow Cloud.
All Hail the Glow Cloud.
And you can just bat Laura with plushy animals because it's supposed to rain down corpses.
I'll throw the llamas we bought at you.
Oh, yeah, she bought some cuddly llamas at Expo as well.
I bought an alpaca, which is the same colours as the pansexual pride flag. I've wanted one for literally years.
Also, she also bought one that is a bride.
It's got a veil on it.
It has a veil, and as soon as she bought it, I grabbed it and I was just making it kiss her. It's like,
I used to have pet alpacas.
Sorry?
I used to have pet alpacas. Just random shit from my life.
Can we have a pet alpaca? Can
no,
you an
they
alpaca?
Spit and they chase you. They're horrid. They're almost as bad as
no,
these.
That's llamas. Alpacas are great.
No, alpacas spit too. These ones spat.
Anyway, Kate, I'm taking it from our pre-show chat we've got. Did you watch the Supergirl pilot?
Yeah.
So I really liked the Supergirl pilot. For anyone that doesn't know, it's not meant to debut and it's not going to be on TV for like another 6 months. But it's online if you want to find it.
It accidentally got leaked, which is media code for we didn't know if anyone was going to like it and there wasn't enough buzz, so we leaked it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the copies that are out are like, there's no way that's, you know, somebody's...
Well, The telltale sign is usually when these things leak this early, it's because like press have been given media screeners, but there are none of the copyright watermarks that you would expect from like a press copy. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, there's none of the watermarks you'd expect from a press screener. It's available in two separate qualities. Like there was a there was an SD and an HD version that both leaked at the same time. And were uploaded at the same time. It wasn't like the one was uploaded and then someone downloaded it, down-resed it, then re-uploaded. Nope, these went up at the exact same time. And
it was the same with Game of Thrones. The first four episodes just happened to all drop at the same time. They obviously just want to generate some buzz, which is fair enough. But I wish they wouldn't be so fake about it. Why not just say we're making the pilot free to air and we're putting it down?
So, thoughts on the Supergirl pilot. I love it in a vacuum. I love, like, the... Once it gets about a third of the way into the episode and it stops being overly told through just, like, exposition dumps, and once the tone kind of settles down about a third of the way in, I love it. I am irritated at points with some of the dialogue, which feels very, 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 very hit at... Hey, look, we're doing the female superhero show. Isn't it great that there's a woman in this? Like, there are times where the show will point out, oh, I'm glad that my daughter now has a superhero to look up to because there is a female superhero is a woman. And I'm
Laura,
like...
Laura, I think we need that. Like, if we look at how the reaction to Mad Max, people are genuinely angry that a woman is in an action movie.
Yes,
I think we need... Some people do need to kind of have it hit around the head.
Yes, it is really important that we finally have a female superhero in this kind of prominent position. However... That is for the viewers to say. That is not for you writing the script to say, because it comes off as stupidly... It comes off as so visibly patting themselves on the back. Look at how great a job we did. We gave you a female superhero. Aren't you happy? And, like, there's several bits like that.
It's the Joss Whedon of TV shows.
Yeah, like, there's a point at the end of the episode where, like, it gets mentioned that Krypton was apparently super, super misogynist as a society, and that, like, on Krypton, women bowed before men in front of them. It's like, that has never been part of Superman lore that I've ever seen, but they felt the need to make a point about saying, oh no, well, she's not bowing to him, therefore she's... Like, that they felt the need to put a lot of, like, she's a feminist superhero woman, just needed to be put in there a bit more than I would have liked. I hope that doesn't stick past the pilot. A lot of it felt like pilot stuff where it's like, hey, look how great we are.
All of the problems that I found with it were stuff that is quite typical of a pilot.
It's all stuff that I hope is just because it's a pilot. Like, get rid of the cringy, like, very visible, repeatedly patting yourselves on the back for making a female superhero. Get rid of all the lines where it's like, hey, we're pointing out that this is what we're doing. The beginning of the episode was very exposition-y. Otherwise, though, the actual, like, two-thirds of the episode after the opening was done, I really bloody enjoyed, and I love the tone, I love the writing. Yeah. I thought it was spectacular. I really can't wait for the full season.
No, I did enjoy it, but the biggest problem for me was the pacing. Like, they have the whole, you know, what we all know, the Krypton exploding, and it's like 2 minutes and it's over, and then we have a lot of exposition, whereas they should have, for me, had her, they should have had a good 20 minutes on Krypton, and yeah, then at the end of that 20 minutes, she gets catapulted on, then we have a commercial break, then it has, you know, the story of, then maybe we have 10 minutes of her and her sister meeting on Earth.
Yeah,
then the growing up montage.
It is just
way
like
too quick.
It is very literally, hey, we are going to tell you that Superman got sent to Earth, and oh wait, no, she's getting sent to Earth too, and now she's on Earth, and she had a sister, and then she grew up, and then she decided to do this, and now she's working here, and like, it just spends the first third or so of the episode trying to very rushed tell you rather than showing you a lot of that world. And the pacing of that was very iffy. But like, about a third of the way in, it did settle down its pacing and sort itself out. So yeah, Supergirl.
Well, Gemma, tell us about Ladycade.
Oh, okay. I was going to go a completely different track.
That's all right. I'm going to go your completely different track. Gemma, what do you want to talk about? You haven't said much yet this episode.
Well, I was going to segue actually into premieres of things. Have any of you seen Kung Fury yet?
No.
No.
Okay, because we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, because this is the one that had the David Hasselhoff music video.
The really cheesy 80s Kung Fu film that has David Hasselhoff. Yes.
Yeah. He does actually appear in the film in a rather brilliant role, which I won't spoil.
Didn't you go to the premiere?
Well, no, there wasn't actually like a formal premiere. The thing is, it was kickstarted, and there was a whole buzz around the fact there was a YouTube premiere. But also, because it was backed by the Swedish film industry, it also debuted on SVT, their equivalent to BBC. So that all happened actually whilst I was at Creative Coast Festival. So I didn't actually see it. Like, I kind of wanted to tune in live and stuff, but my friend and I watched it like, because I'm a Kickstarter backer, I got the digital download as well.
Ooh, fancy.
But yeah, so Kung Fury premiered on Friday, and it's everything that I expected and far more ridiculous than I really thought it was.
In a good way or a bad way?
In a good way, but you really have to go into it knowing what it is. It is just out-and-out 80s-style action. And, for example, the fact that laser raptors were wandering around the Viking Age, like, that explains Swedish history to me now. There were laser raptors. It's just, it's so good. But one of the best things I think we found about it, because I had a bit of a, we had a whole 5-hour train journey in which to discuss this thing. It has a couple of really knowingly bad one-liners. And it's, I encourage people to watch it. It's totally free to watch. It was just made. I mean, it's going to give David Sandberg a career in film directing and special effects and stuff. Anyway, I think he was already involved in special effects because the whole film has like a VHS look to it. And for anyone who doesn't know, I suppose I should explain. Its plot is it's about this chosen one kung fu wielding cop who decides to fight crime and encounters the worst criminal in all history, Adolf Hitler, who's rebranded himself Kung Fuhrer.
Oh my god.
So he has to take him down. And it involves dinosaurs, Thor, and a hacker who can turn into a robot.
This sounds like the greatest film ever. Can we all get drunk and watch it at Nine Worlds?
Oh my goodness, yes.
Let's do it in our hotel room.
In our hotel room, listeners, you're not invited, but we are going to have a secret party where we will watch this film while drunk in our hotel.
Yes, I will bring the Blu-ray. I'll hopefully have a Blu-ray by then.
Hurrah, yeah. And I shall bring some booze.
I will bring air from my lungs.
This seems like perfect drunk watching with friends material.
It really is. And like, I suppose one of the things was I wondered if it would make any bad jokes that I would find distasteful or something. It's one of these paranoid fears that sometimes you wonder, and absolutely none of that.
Oh, that's good.
It's just I wouldn't say it's wholesome good fun, but it's inoffensive. It's kind of gory, I guess, but
we have like a pile of these films to watch at some point of a similar nature. We went to CEX in the UK and we went through and bought a load of their DVDs based on price. So we were like, right, 10p for a DVD, we'll pick that up. The worst one we got, I think, is Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus, which was 20p.
We haven't seen it yet, but we should bring this one to Nine
Yeah,
Worlds.
Yeah, we'll bring this to Nine Worlds. Show. Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus. Winner eats all.
So our live recorded episode is going to be like film reviews.
Yeah. Okay, I'm just going to point out like my favorite thing about the back of this DVD that we got for 20p. There are three like pictures with captions on the back of the box. One of them is Debbie Gibson, who is an actress in it. One of them says fight and it's a shark. And one of them says bridge. And there's just an arrow pointing at a bridge. And it's got three exclamation marks. It's like Debbie Gibson gets one exclamation mark. Shark gets two. Bridge gets three. Bridge!
Oh my goodness.
So we had some terrible DVDs. So I'm thinking Nine Worlds terrible drunken movie night might need to be a thing.
Yes, happening.
But also now that Kate has mentioned Lady Cade and Creative Coast also happened because I've been basically traveling
loads.
Was that
at the coast? Is that why it was called Creative Coast? Was it at the coast?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I would have felt lied to.
It's a rather wonderful festival, actually. It's held in Karlshamn, which is a little seaside town. I mean, it's extremely little, but it has a surprisingly good like game development scene. And so a lot of local businesses have gotten together to try and make like a really warm festival down there. And so it debuted this year. And as part of that, they wanted Lady Cade. So we were the opening event.
Of course they wanted Lady Cade. Lady Cade's amazing.
So it's the first time it's actually like we have a good working relationship with Nottingham Game City. This is the first time a festival has started up and has gone like, we want Lady Cade. So we're like, okay, we'll travel down like on I'll take a 6-hour train journey. Why not? Like you've pulled my arm. So that was on Thursday night and that went really nicely. We actually held it in a board game cafe for the first time. There's a really nice, I don't know how likely it is that any of our listeners pass through Karlshamn, but if you do, check out Bredspiels Kaffet on Vronebygatan because it's really nice. It's a nicely decorated space with comfy chairs and lots of board games and really good fika as well.
Really good what?
So fika is coffee and cakes. And it's a totally, like, it's throughout Sweden. It's the best thing.
Okay, just bear in mind, some of us that are on this show with you, read all of us don't know Swedish words.
I'm sorry, I do forget that.
It's like, what is this thing?
Okay, yeah, it's like a massively cultural thing of, like, people get together and do coffee and have cake. And so we held a Lady Cade fika.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
To invite people in. I met some lovely people, and then the nice thing was as well, we were like the first event on the program, so we then just got to go down the pub and actually like recover from our train journey at that point, and then enjoy the rest of the festival. And it was a really good one. Hung out with friends and old and new, and yeah, it's all that good stuff.
Sounds lovely.
We'll be doing some more in Sweden, hopefully. Hopefully, like close to home, like Stockholm as well.
Yeah. Apparently, you speaking Swedish is Kate's new favorite thing.
Mm-hmm. I need you to record some things at Nine Worlds for, like, you know, if I don't know, just badass phrases so that if somebody like passes me, I could just be like, "Hang on," and then just have you saying something badass in Swedish to be like, "Fuck you."
Men jag pratar endast en lite grann svenska.
Exactly.
Yeah. What does that mean? I don't need to know. It just sounds amazing.
Probably means like I like cheese.
Jag gillar ost, ja.
Oh my god! Okay. I'm now re-evaluating my relationship with Mad Max. Furiosa should have spoken Swedish the entire time. That would have been amazing.
Unfortunately, my language thing for this week doesn't translate very well to podcasts, which are audio only. But I've been starting to reteach myself British Sign Language this week.
Impressive.
Just because I found my new favorite thing to watch and that like inspired me to try and teach myself sign language again was videos you can find online of people who will find pop like radio songs and will basically perform the sign language to them like dramatically along with the songs. And there are some really amazing ones of these. Like if you search any song title on YouTube followed by ASL, you will find like the American Sign Language version of it. And just watching like the visual and the physicality of words, something about that just really clicked with me and I found it really beautiful to watch. And I was like, I need to learn sign language again. So I've been trying to teach myself British Sign Language and I brushed up on my basics so I can do introductions, like the finger alphabet, like some things to do with families and question signs. So I can do like who, what, where, when, brother, sister, mother, father, grandfather, grandmother, aunt, uncle.
Sister is, not sister, sorry. I think it's either sister or aunt is tapping your nose, which is something to do with it being nosy.
Just like sister is you make like an R shape with your finger and you like stroke it across your nose a couple of times. But yeah, I've been trying to relearn sign language. So I'm currently looking for good videos on the way that I find easiest to learn sign language is voice on assisted sign language assisted English, which is basically the person who's doing the video to demonstrate will speak along while they're signing and will sign in English sentence structure order rather than sign language sentence structure order initially, just so that you're picking up like the visual cues along with the words. Mm-hmm. And like they will like sign as they speak, but like
that makes
then,
sense, actually. Like, yeah,
it's a very good way of like picking up vocab. But then beyond that, it's like she will explain as she's going, like, okay, I'm doing this in this order, however it is meant to be in this order for these reasons, etc. It's very like sentence structure wise it's built a lot like French, where you start with the subject, then the like the question marker, then like the person phrases. There's like it's some different ways of how it's structured. But yeah, I've been trying to teach myself basic sign language again. Yeah, while we're here, we had one request this week from someone on Twitter for what we should talk about. So Tilly, we had a request for you to talk about your book this week.
Yes.
who requested this? Let me find. Connor Lavelle requested that Tilly talk about her book. So woo, Tilly, tell us about how your book's going.
And I don't
week.
Even know you, but I love you.
Yeah, you hear that? She loves you, Connor Lavelle.
It's going really well. I'm a bit stuck on a chapter. Basically, I need to get my characters from point A to point B without just
having them walk there.
Yeah, without just being like, chapter 14, they walked. Chapter 15, they arrived. And also, I've sent to a couple of beta readers, because I've mentioned a couple of weeks ago on the podcast about characters being trans and gender fluid and trying to find ways of that coming across without it being defensive or without it seeming like a big thing. So I've written that chapter now, but what I haven't done is the prelude to it.
Yeah, because the current draft of it, like I read this the other day, and my current issue with how it's written is that it's very sort of like exposition heavy and out of nowhere, where suddenly this chapter starts and like it's not written like in character. The characters feel like they're sort of putting information out rather than saying something that the character would naturally say, and it's just sort of out of nowhere. Here is the bit of the chapter where we are going to stop and talk about gender. Oh wait, back to the plot. Or at least that's how it came across to me. It was a little bit sort of like there was no nothing to imply it before this chapter halfway in, where it's suddenly like this is the bit where we're all going to talk gender.
Yeah, see, this is it's the problem in that I knew right from the start that that was something that I wanted to do. And so because I knew it, I forgot that I had to actually
tell your readers that it was going
to
happen.
So I forgot to do the build up to it. So that's something that I'm going to need to go back to in an edit. But the problem that I'm having is that because in this universe, like, it's completely normal to experiment with your gender, and if your assigned gender at birth doesn't fit with who you are, then it's completely normal to change it. And it's just, you know, it's a completely, like, non-thing. And the problem with that is that it's really hard to then build that world, because if gender is such a non-issue, there's no reason for them to talk about it.
Mm. Like, this is...
It's the thing that Ian Banks actually covered quite heavily in The Culture. And the only reason he was able to get away with it, really, is because you can't have, like, a gender-fluid culture without having a contrast for it. So the Culture novels are always written from the perspective of some barbarian fringe society, which would look at the culture and realize, like, you don't have constructed genders? What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah,
that's the thing, in that originally I had a character who was from a different city.
Is this the character who you wrote out?
Yes, he's a character that I then deleted, because literally that was the only reason he existed. Was well, to not know these gender norms and
Is it worth writing him back in just for that purpose?
No, because I don't want him back.
Okay,
he really dragged the whole plot down. Like,
yeah,
I don't know if you've ever read a book that has an unneeded character, but they suck the life out of the story.
Well, this is what I said about that chapter when I first read it, was that, like, it feels like what you need is like, my go-to example for this is usually Ellie in The Last of Us, where it's a character who is from outside of the established order that doesn't know a lot of these things. And as such, like, you can explain to this character what's going on and use that as a way to explain to the audience what's going on. And it's unfortunate that, like, the way your plot's currently set up, you don't have a character that you can really use as that, which means you're going to have to work really hard to find another way to do it.
Yeah. Because I could do it in This Is the Prelude, because I think there's a lot of bugbears that I know that you particularly have about trans stuff in fiction and things. And I know that, like, we were having conversations and you were picking up flaws that actually weren't there.
Well, there's stuff that, like, tonally felt like you were doing, even if, like, you weren't explicitly doing it in the text.
So that's difficult, is trying to build a world where gender is such a non-issue that it's brought up as a non-issue, you know?
So that's the current challenge.
So, yeah, that's quite difficult. But I've sent it to quite a few trans and non-binary people. I've got some really great beta readers who've read it over for me. And I'm happy with that chapter as it is at the moment. I just need to work on the build-up, which means that there's going to be more releases on Patreon because I keep editing.
Oh, goodness. Can I just say, having finally read through, like, an up-to-date version of this book, my goodness, Tilly is really good at writing really dark, depressing stuff about the world. Like, she's really good at being like, oh, hey, things are bad. Oh, God, they're much worse than we thought. That's dark and terrifying. Like, the whole thing with, how do I put this? The whole thing with the knife.
Yeah.
My God, the stuff with the knife. The bit where they go into the town and there is the smell.
It's really not that.
It is. Can I say what the smell is? Yeah, they go into one town where it's just the burning bodies, and there is a screaming child, because it's like, oh God, yep, I'm having terrifying flashbacks of burning bodies. And oh, you are good at writing dark, scary stuff.
Tilly, you are fucked up.
Her story's fine, and there will be moments where I'm just like, oh God, do I really want to marry this person who can write this kind of terrifying stuff? Yes, I do, of course. But
I really hope it's not that dark. Like, I don't want it. Obviously,
oh my God,
like,
Tilly, instead of vows, you should just read a chapter.
Read the chapter where someone gets tortured.
Yeah, and then just look really intensely.
Yeah, look deep into your eyes and be like, and then I pulled out her fingernails one by one.
Like, I'm wondering, actually, have you read much Ian M. Banks? Like,
no,
or
I
any?
Actually.
Because I think, like, at least by the sounds of your writing style, I think it'd really resonate with you, because he also does really dark stuff.
Well, it's
like stuff with, like, bones and furniture.
Like, the thing that sticks with me is from, like, the very first chapter of the book, she talks about, like, this particular cult that have been going around murdering children, and they have this incredibly sharp knife that is so sharp that you don't feel it slicing, and they're just slicing throats of children so that they, like, die in their sleep without waking. Like, Tilly can write really dark stuff.
But I hope it works. Like, I'm trying to...
Oh, it works. It entirely works. I love it, but...
I'm trying to portray a world that is really dark and cruel.
Yes.
And where children get murdered, basically.
You do that in a way that doesn't, like... Unlike the Game of Thrones TV show, it's not lingering on those things. It's very matter of fact, this is a thing, let's move on. But for that brief moment, it's like, oh.
So, what's his name? Ian M. Banks.
Yeah.
What does he write?
Pretty much, if you get anything in the culture universe, which the best place to start is the Player of Games.
Okay.
Yeah, my boyfriend has been nagging me to read them since forever, and he was, because he died, was it last year?
Yeah, about a year and a half ago.
Of cancer, and my boyfriend was distraught.
Yeah. I am one of his fangirls. Like, I'd say also Use of Weapons, because that's one I'm particularly thinking of, and, like, people who read Use of Weapons will possibly know what I'm referring to, just in terms of, But, like, anything set in the culture world, like I say, it's... Culture is a post-scarcity society, so a lot of ills are fixed, but it's always seen from the outside, and then he really does dark things with that contrast.
That sounds good. What I'm doing, again, this is something that I'll need to go through and edit, but basically, like, I've always found it weird that dragons in fiction have a concept of gender. Like,
I fucking love dragons.
Yeah, me too, in case you hadn't noticed.
Dragons.
But it seems really strange that these, like, all-powerful, like, mythical creatures would contain themselves in the gender binary. Again, in my mind, the dragons are supposed to be genderless. Or agender, even. They just are. They don't have a gender. But then I write them, and when I describe them, I'm like, oh yeah, so then the male did this, and the female did this. And then I was reading it through, and I was like, wait, they don't have a gender, why did I do that?
But because it's a really easy thing to fall into when you're describing emotional traits.
Yeah. So again, that's something that needs to go through and edit. And I guess that could be my talking point then for... for the gender stuff that the humans go through, and that the dragons are like, wait, so you only have two? We don't have any, but, like, that seems so weird. Why would you confine yourself to these genders? And then they'd be like, well, it's worked for us, kind of.
Anyway, what else do we have to talk about this week? Does anyone else have anything else they'd like to talk about before we wrap up? We got a little bit of time left.
I could ask then, Laura, considering, like, I've now recorded 2 episodes of a Let's Play.
Oh,
I
yes,
did
you're
mention
doing
it
a Let's
in an
Play.
Earlier episode.
You've been playing City Skylines, was it?
Indeed. So, yeah, if anybody wants to hear me rambling about city design and transportation, then I do that in, like, half-hourly slots. Woo. On YouTube, where I am, the Raygun Goth.
I've gotten back into doing YouTube stuff this week. I did possibly my favorite YouTube video I've ever done, because it's such a weird niche topic that I did. I made a video about what Haikyuu, the volleyball anime, taught me about the 15, 20-year-old Pokemon pinball game on Game Boy. And I kind of love how that video turned out. So that is what Haikyuu, volleyball anime, taught me about Pokemon pinball. On youtube.com/ Laura K. Buzz. I also, what did I do? Oh, I played a video game about dating pugs, and pugs are assholes. They're horrible thing people to date. Don't ever date a pug, I learnt.
Life lesson.
I think my last one. I couldn't make a video of this because, my God, there were too many penises. there's a developer called Robert Yang who makes he makes a lot of indie games about like consent and sexuality, and he makes some really interesting stuff. And he's made a game called Cobra Club. And on the surface, it is just a game about taking dick pic selfies. And you have various sliders to affect girth and erection level and things. And then it turns out to actually be a really interesting game about data protection and online security and the faith we put in online services. If you don't want spoilers, skip ahead 30 seconds in the podcast. Toward the end of the game, you get a message and it goes, "Hey, wait, is this a picture of your penis?" And you click on a link and it takes you to an actual Tumblr website where one of the dick pic selfies you took during the game is uploaded alongside your fake personal information.
Hmm.
And it's like, yeah, while you were playing, your information was getting leaked to Tumblr. And it makes some really interesting points about personal security online. So yeah, that, and you get to take pictures of penises, which is quite funny.
Wow. Well, in my Let's Play in the last episode, I unlocked buses. So it's nothing quite like that.
Nothing yeah. Like dick pic selfie games.
No, I'm just doing like kind of the typical Let's Play thing. Because I'm also aware that some people, I've actually spoken to some people who've been hearing a lot about Cities Skylines but can't play it for one reason or the other. I mean, in my case, I had the copy gifted to me. I couldn't afford to buy it.
Yeah.
So if you're intrigued to know what it's like, I can recommend playing along. And like I say, my YouTube username is The Raygun Goth, but you can also find my city, I guess, if you search for Raygun Gothenburg, because that's what I called it. And I do owe Chris Mortensen for the suggestion there. He suggested Gothenburg, and I just slapped Reagan on the front of it. Because that's my Twitter username. Yeah.
Do we have anything else, or is that a good point to wrap up for this week? Oh, we can finish up. Tilly and me for the first time... Well, not me for the first time. I've watched it several times before. But we watched Jurassic Park this week, which was Tilly's first time seeing that film.
I'm very excited about Jurassic World.
Yeah, me too. That's why we watched Jurassic Park. I was like... I
want to
see it before we go watch.
We were sat in the cinema today watching the trailer for Jurassic World came on, and my friend just sat next to me and went, "You know, I think the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park gave feminism a really bad name." And I was like, okay. It is a female dinosaur in the thing. And that is an argument to be made that she is kind of demonized for being... very powerful in the same way that the third Pirates of the Caribbean movie where
all of the dinosaurs are female in Jurassic Park.
Are they?
Yeah, it's because they didn't want them to breed.
Oh.
It's an entire plot point about a quarter of the way into the film. They talk about the fact that they specifically bred only female dinosaurs.
Wow. It gives feminism a bad name, apparently. It was just the way she said it, and I was like, there's an argument to be made, but that was hilarious.
Island of the evil feminist reptiles.
So yeah, a lot of people who would stay away from that island.
So what did you think of Jurassic Park? Yeah, you were very
Yeah, it's okay. I think it's one of those things, like, it was hyped up so much that I really made it out to be more than it was in my own head. It's the same with, what was the other film we saw, Deep Blue Sea. Like, I have this...
Fuck that! Is that the one with Jessica Alba in?
No.
Is that the one with Samuel L. Jackson in?
Oh, wait, yeah, that is that one, but it's not the one I mean. Something else. It's something else about sharks.
It's a terrible mockumentary thing, fake documentary about... a shark thing that happened, but
it's not called Deep Blue. Open Water, that's what it's called.
Yeah, oh, that was the worst film I've ever seen.
Yeah, and like it's the isn't it about the divers who are like sat there chilling?
Yeah, they got left behind by the boat.
2 hours of them bobbing about in the ocean.
Well,
a bunch of friends and I saw it at the cinema when it came out, it was a half full theatre, and we just cracked up laughing by the end of it. We could not take it seriously.
I've got a really intense shark phobia, like to the point where I panic, like if I get above chest height in water, like
why
not
you know what
by
this film?
Because I'm trying to
desensitize myself.
I am the same, Tilly, except mine is, I'm not that bothered about sharks. Do you know what I'm scared of?
What?
Whales.
Really?
Yeah, like blue whales. No, not the country. Oh, don't ask such a
Oh. I'm not that
scared of the valleys.
Like, it's my dad once almost got ambushed by a humpback whale when he was a kid.
What? Where the fuck? Where did his dad live?
South Africa.
Oh, okay. Wasn't like, oh, chilling off Cornwall.
He was playing with a friend of his. They were like in the ocean, and the swell went up, and they sort of looked over, and there was a dark shape under the water, and they're like, "What was that? Did you see that?"
Oh my god, that is my idea of hell.
Yeah, and then they did it again. They saw like a dorsal fin come up, and they were like, "Fuck, it's a shark," because the majority of shark attacks attacks happen off the coast of South Africa. So they like swam back to shore, like not looking back, obviously. They just swam as fast as they could, and they turned around and it was a humpback whale. How do you confuse whales. A humpback whale fin with a shark fin? I don't know.
So
anyway. Pinocchio got eaten by one. So did Jonah.
My problem with the film with the sharks in, by the way, my biggest problem is when like they have big, heavy metal oxygen tanks. Why at no point do they have that ready to use as a weapon where it's like, okay, if the shark swims at me, I'll hit it in the face with the oxygen tank. Why did none of them think
that? Hit him in the nose,
innit? Yeah, hit it in the face with an oxygen tank.
Actually, the eyes or the gills would be better. Just saying.
Okay, if you're punching, yes, you don't want to go for the nose because that means putting your hand near its teeth.
You also don't want to hit it in the nose with an oxygen tank because a shark's tooth will puncture an oxygen tank. So
yeah.
Hit it in
I'm
the
not
gills.
Saying the nose, but yeah, you want to hit that thing with an oxygen tank.
Yeah. I also, like, if you ever get attacked by a shark, you should call me and I'll tell you exactly what to do.
Oh, thanks, babe.
I know.
Well, the guy who died in that film thought he knew as well.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he kept saying he watched the Discovery Channel, watching Shark Week, but he knew nothing about sharks.
When I was in Australia, we were on like this weird trip thing. It was like the only bus. It went like twice a week, the only bus to this place we were staying. And it was like a day tour. So we were like, we just wanted to sleep on the bus and go up there for like 4 hours. We had to go on this fucking trip. And this crazy woman was driving. She was like 20. And she was telling us about like, oh, this is what you do if you get attacked by a crocodile. And like, you just have, and I was like, I'm not going to be able to fucking know this. And she was telling it to us as if, you know, like, you know, when you get the, oh, the exits are here, here and here, you know, there's an actual chance you might need to use it. That's the level of sort of bluntness that she was using. Like, if a crocodile gets you, then it's going to try and drag you to the bottom. So you just have to shove your hand down its throat and then pull this flap and then the water rushes in and it lets you go and then you swim away. And I was like, oh, bonza, mate, you know.
Can I just say, your Australian accent's amazing.
I know, mate.
Your Australian accent is brilliant. I'm really scared of sharks. So any film about sharks that I see, I blame it on my mum for letting me watch. I can't remember what it was called, but it was a shark film about a girl.
Jaws.
No, it wasn't Jaws. Because I've seen Jaws, and that didn't scare me either. Yeah. Because I spent the first 4 years of my life growing up in South Africa, and obviously it was a movie about this girl who got attacked by a shark on Bloberg Beach, which is like the beach, I wouldn't say right near where I grew up, but it was the beach that we went to when we went to the beach, and I was like freaked out. So anytime there's a movie about sharks, I'm like, okay, I need to see it to desensitize myself, but I always build it up to the point where it's like it's never going to be as scary as I think it will, because I'm like, I research like how to survive a shark attack like constantly, and there's always like, whenever I'm watching these shark films, I'm like, ah, it's easy, I just do that, and then that, and that.
So Jurassic Park.
Anyway, Jurassic Park, I built it up to be more than I thought it would be.
Like, Jurassic Park to me is a film that's held up incredibly well for its age. It's about 20 years old.
Like The Mummy.
It still looks fantastic.
So does The Mummy.
The performances and the use
I fucking love The Mummy.
Oh, God, yeah. the use of, like, practical and special effects together works really well. And generally, it's just a really well-paced, like, it's very much paced like a theme park ride. And that is essentially what it is, because plot-wise it's about a theme park and the whole thing is a theme park ride of a film. And I quite like it for that, for what it is.
But it's not as good as The Mummy.
The Mummy's pretty great.
You're right there, Chama.
Do you not think The Mummy's great?
Oh my goodness, we've killed her.
Gemma. Gemma, The Mummy's great.
Oh dear.
Are you okay?
Well, in that case, time to do self-promotion. Gemma, where can we find you on the internet? Gemma, where can we find you?
Oh, you know, just around.
Have we broken you?
Yes. I'm so tired from, like, festivals and travelling and stuff. It's just, like, fit the giggles massively.
So, Gemma can be found on Twitter at RayGunGoth, and she has some Patreons, which I'm sure she'll tell us about. Patreons, where are they?
Yes, I have a Patreon, patreon.com/RayGunGoth, where I was actually talking about my time at Nordic Game Conference recently. I was doing I am still doing all sorts of diversity things and basically fixing Sweden, but I'm liking any support to keep me doing that. So, thank you very much.
What about you, Kate? Where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me at @KT_did and at the Geek Agenda UK. On this Wednesday, which will be tomorrow by the time this goes out, we are watching Captain America the Winter Soldier and doing a tweet along.
I'll watch that along. I'll do a tweet along. I'm free Wednesday.
Because it's amazing.
Do you want to do this? Come do a tweet along of the Winter Soldier?
Depends on when. I'm busy Wednesday. When,
When
on Wednesday?
In the evening, probably.
Yeah, I'm busy then. Sorry.
Are you
well? Well, you'll be there in spirit.
I'm seeing Lena.
Ah, you're seeing Lena. Anyway, Tilly, where can we find you on the internet?
I'm at Gathering Tilly on Twitter, where mainly I tweet about my cat's monobrow. and my book.
Woo.
And you can find my book on Patreon.
Patreon.com/valencekiller.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know. I know how to self-promote you. So yeah, you can find Tilly's book on Patreon at patreon.com/valencekiller. Anything else?
No, that's it. Thank you.
That's okay. And you can find me at Laura K Buzz on everything. So that's Twitter at Laura K Buzz, Patreon/Laura K Buzz, YouTube/Laura K Buzz, iTunes Laura K Buzz, Laura K Buzz on pretty much everything. So thank you very much for listening this week, everyone. It's been fantastic to have you, and we will have another episode for you again next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.